Hello, you're listening to the Watchman's Cry News from the Wall and the Issues of Life, the program that visits world events and the issues that affect God's people in these end times.
Hello, my friends. You're listening to the Watchman's Cry News from the Wall and the Issues of Life, the program that examines reality through the lens of biblical and spiritual truth. My name is Nathan Liao, and the website is watchmanscry.com. I want to welcome all of you to our program today. I also want to welcome my lovely wife, Donna. Donna is joining us.
Hello, listeners. I'm happy to be here today.
Are you happy?
I am happy.
Are you sad that you can't watch soap operas instead of doing this?
I haven't watched a soap opera since I was 16.
No, come on. You still watch them. What's your favorite one? The Edge of Night, As the World Turns.
Is Susan Lucci still on there? Because that's the one I remember.
See, I'm quoting the ones that I remember when I was a kid. I don't even know if those are still around. Are they?
I'm not sure. I haven't turned on the TV during the day to look for those kinds of things.
I remember my mother watched them religiously, and she called them her stories. I got to see my stories.
Would she iron while she was watching them?
Oh, she ironed and...
No, I didn't know anybody who watched them when I was a kid.
Oh, okay. Well, in the last century. Anyway, some of the folks out there, I'm bringing back memories. Some of you listeners out there, do you still watch those? And it's always the same thing, right, Donna? There's always a guy in a coma.
Always a coma. Yes, I remember that.
Those aren't even godly shows anyway, are they, Donna? There's always some sort of... cheating and betrayal and adultery and fornication and...
Yeah, a lot of sin in those lives.
They're messed up. Well, you can't call it sin, Donna. It's drama. In the world, it's drama and mistakes.
Oh, okay.
Politically correct. Pretty soon, that word will be outlawed on Facebook. And eventually, they'll chip away at what we're allowed to say on the internet and on Facebook. You know, speaking of Facebook, I remember a few years ago we said... it's not going to go anywhere. And I heard a lot of Christians say they would never have a Facebook account. But now it seems like everyone is on Facebook. And I don't know. We have an account on there.
So each of us, yes.
We do. And we talk about the Lord, the end times. We give testimony. You give testimony. And I actually, it's an extension of the ministry. So that's what I use it for. And if some people will say, well, Nathan, they're spying on you. Don't you know? You're falling right into their trap. Well, we have a website. We are public figures.
No, and we really don't have anything to hide, so.
There's nothing to hide. We're not radical.
No, we're not radicalized.
To bring harm or violence or any of that. So why did I bring that up? Well, because we do have a Facebook page, and if anyone out there does participate in that, you can find me at Nathan Liao, and it says Watchman's Cry when it comes up under my name, so that you'll know it's my page, because
There's several Nathan Liao's around that out
few.
There, yeah.
And then you have yours, Donna Liao.
Donna A. Liao.
Donna A. Is there a period?
Donna A. period Liao, yes.
Okay, L-E-A-L. Or you can go to my page and see that she's my wife and it'll link to her or likewise to her. So we welcome you guys to see us on Facebook because we do go there to share. When the time comes that we need to go underground, then we'll stop. But for now... it's a venue, it's a way for us to deliver the message, these programs, the articles that I write, and our thoughts. It's also interesting, Donna, that I can see that Facebook is a barometer to how Christianity in America really is, because, oh man, the flavors of Christianity and denominations and belief systems on Facebook, they're never ending. The one thing that I have noticed... when I said we can see how Christianity's doing, the barometer of how awake Christians are or they choose to be or the things that they choose to participate in. You know, it's interesting. I'll put out an article or do a program or you'll just say something on there that has to do with your thoughts. Sometimes it's biblical. Sometimes it's just about being a mother or a family member.
Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing that within a few minutes, someone will type in something in there that's rude to you or toward us, or they will attack you. They will attack me for my message, and then they will accuse. And then I will take a peek at their page.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for example, I've done a few articles on Donald Trump to expose the truth about him.
Right.
And then someone will get on there and start ripping into me.
Just shredding us, yes.
So I go to look at their page, and they have is a bunch of pictures of them partying and...
And a couple cats.
Or cats or dogs or animals.
Or a lot of selfies that you take with your camera raised above your head, pointing down your shirt. A lot of those, we see that.
It's just incredible and interesting that those who want to throw rocks at us, you go to their page and it's like, wow.
They're not making a difference, but they're correcting those who are trying to.
If some of you are new to this program and you're wondering where I stand, here's where I stand. We're in the end times. The Bible says, watch. Jesus said, watch. When he was in the garden, right before he was arrested, he said, watch. Watch and pray, Peter. By the way, the garden is a shadow of the end times. When Jesus was in the garden and he got betrayed and he was arrested himself and then he was persecuted and killed, that's a shadow of what God's people are going to go through in the end times, what we have before us in our journey. So if it's dark and we're in the garden, what are we supposed to be doing? Because Jesus didn't get arrested during the day, Donna. It wasn't noon.
It was dark.
Why was he arrested at night in the dark? Because it's a shadow of what happens in the end times. In the end times, it is dark. That is the theme of the end times, ladies and gentlemen. Darkness. And I've been sharing this a lot lately over the past few programs and when I've been a guest on some other programs. The darkness not only is coming, but it's already here. And for those who wonder what it looks like, here's what it looks like. It makes people not be able to see the truth. That's why we witnessed so much confusion during the past election, because we're in darkness. When did the darkness start? It didn't just start yesterday or a week before or a month. It started during Obama.
Mm-hmm. It did.
In 2012, when he was elected president, most Christians in America felt the oppression. There was a shift. There was a darkness that entered the land, and we talked about it way back then, right? And we got emails from people that people were sad, they grieved, they lamented. They felt something come over the country. It was a new chapter. It was the new morphing of America into Mystery Babylon, into the daughter of Babylon. Darkness arrived here. And then several years went by, and people were vigilant. And then in the darkness, Donna, we had false prophecies.
Many false prophecies, yes.
About the next president.
Yes.
About Trump.
All coming from the New Apostolic Reformation, the Kingdom Now, the Dominion Theology Group. That's where all these false prophecies came from.
That's true. If we were to look at the Mark Taylor prophecy that became very popular.
It's still popular. People are still throwing it out there as proof.
Even now, after all this time, after what's going on. And by the way, on this program today, we're going to talk about that orb, the weird orb that Donald Trump put his hands on a few weeks ago. We're going to talk about it. But to begin, I just want to lay down this foundation. If you might be new to this program and you wonder what Nathan is all about, Nathan and Donna, what Watchman's Cry is all about, this is what it is, folks. A watchman is supposed to climb up on the wall, on the tower, and look over the horizon with the binoculars from God through the lens of biblical and spiritual truth, and look to the horizon and report only what they see. A watchman cannot say that something is out there when it's not, because otherwise they are what, Donna?
Lying.
They're lying. They're crying wolf. You have to be able to see it with your eyes, and then you report it. You blow the trumpet. So if a watchman reports something coming that's not there, they're failing. If they report that all is well when something is coming, they're failing. If they report that something is coming and it's coming to do harm, but they misrepresent what is coming and say that it is safe and good and not to be concerned or feared, they are failing. The job is very simple, Donna. If you see weapons in their hands, discernment knows good from evil. Discernment knows black from white, right from wrong, threatening versus safe. Discernment knows. They have to have discernment. Also, they have to be able to hear God's voice to go along with what they're seeing. So when they see something approaching, if they're curious, they're not sure, they scratch their chin or their head and say, I need to get a second opinion about this, then they should get a second opinion from another watchman or someone who's mature or disciplined or understands discernment. They don't get to invent their version of reality and then tell all the villagers, these people that are approaching us right now, this group of men, they're coming on the horizon in a caravan or a convoy, or there's a group of them. There's a lot. They look scary, but don't worry. They're okay. The watchman can't do that. But what we saw happen when Donald Trump rose on the scene was a recreation of his approach. We saw a reproduced narrative. They rewrote the narrative of what was coming. He started off on the horizon. There was a cloud of dust behind him, and he was surrounded by an entourage of those who are going to come and do harm. But those watchmen recreated what they saw, and then they stated that it was safe. And then they, of all things, Donna, they placed the signature of the Holy Spirit behind the words, "Thus saith the Lord, Donald Trump is going to do great things."
And then they also attacked the true watchmen.
They did. But they made up the narrative. See, when we go to the Bible, Donna, in Matthew 24, there shall be wars, rumors of wars, famines, earthquakes, betrayal, deception. The love of many will wax cold and they will betray one another. There's a whole list of unfortunate events that we can read in Scripture. But these confused watchmen disregarded the end time narrative found in Matthew 24, and they said greatness is coming to Babylon. Now, the people that believed it, my friend, my listening friend, think about this. The deception that is coming in the future is going to be even worse. And if people fell for it the first time, for whatever reason, and if they don't fix what caused it, they're going to fall for deception again, because Jesus said so. He said many, many will be what? Deceived.
Well, and I think that the number one way to prevent yourself from being deceived is to study the word. And specifically in this case, the book of Revelation, because what these false prophets are saying is going to happen in the end times cannot be found in Scripture.
And what are they saying is going to happen?
They're saying that we are going to take back this world, and the seven mountains, we're going to take them back from Satan, and we're going to kick Satan out, and we're going to control this world. And then, and only then, will Jesus return. Nowhere in the book of Revelations does it say that.
It doesn't. It does. There's no reprieve. Jesus does not need the church's help to make the enemies of God their footstool. And it doesn't say that. It doesn't say that the enemies of God will be the footstool of the church. It says it'll be the footstool of God. And in Daniel 7 and 8, we see that the villain rises up and he breaks the earth in pieces. He overcomes the saints. He is very boastful. The Antichrist is who I'm talking about, that character. Mm-hmm. He will wreak havoc on the earth. The rescuing in Daniel 7 and 8 does not happen by the church.
No, no. It's only through Jesus Christ.
When he arrives with the rod of iron and he sets things straight, he grabs the devil and chains him up for 1,000 years. If the church is going to bring this victory, this false narrative of the seven mountain victory, where's the devil in all of this? Does he just step aside and say, okay, go for it. I'm going to, even though I have control of the earth and Jesus hasn't taken it from me yet and chained me up in the bottomless pit. Yeah, I'm going to let you take over Hollywood. The seven mountains includes Hollywood, mm-hmm. Donna?
Yes, it does.
Entertainment, education, politics, the arts.
Well, and all you have to do is look around to know we're losing this battle when it comes to education and entertainment and politics. It is not God-fearing systems.
So, ladies and gentlemen, if you heard some of that nonsense, it's not true. It never was true.
Just go to your Bible. Study, and you will know what is not true.
Amen. Anyway, there is so much deception taking place right now. And Donna, on Facebook, people say at times, Nathan, quit talking about politics. We don't want to hear, or they email us. You should not be talking about politics because the Lord would rather have you talk about
A, B, or C.
Exactly. And so they're acting as the Holy Spirit. And I'm sure some of them may mean well. They may. But here's what I've noticed, Donna. When Obama was around,
they never said that.
They sure talked about Obama. Yeah. And in fact, they still do.
But they're also not in our prayer closet. So they have no idea what the Holy Spirit is directing us to do. So it takes a lot of hubris, a lot of pride, a lot of arrogance to write to a minister and say, you should only talk about A or B or C.
But they also use the argument that, or opinion, that politics should not be a part of any ministry's information. Only
when a Republican is in office. When a Democrat is in office, they fully believe that politics should be at the forefront of any religious radio program.
They do.
Yes.
Because during Obama, the last 8 years, I didn't hear any of that.
Well, during Bill Clinton.
That too.
So.
And even right now, people love talking about Hillary.
They still are talking about Hillary. Yes, you're right.
Don't
talk about the evil witch. Let's talk about her.
But if we talk about Donald Trump, then Nathan and Donna, you need to talk about spiritual stuff. Don't talk about politics. But this is the rebuttal to that admonition. Here's what it is, Donna.
Okay.
The book of Revelation, and I've said this a few times, and I'm going to keep saying it. Ladies and gentlemen, if you've wondered about it, if you've wondered, should a watchman talk about politics? Now, sermons are good. Sermons are necessary and needed. Repentance is needed. The message of preparation and godly counsel and the banner of Jesus and what we found in the Word and the Word of God is needed. But in addition to that, let's use the Bible as the example. If we're supposed to be scriptural according to things written in the Bible, when we look in the Old Testament, let's just pick one of them. Saul, King Saul, mm-hmm. was in the Bible.
He was, yes.
Was he a preacher?
No, he was not a preacher.
What was he?
He was just a king.
That's politics. What about Jezebel and Ahab?
Politicians.
Politicians, king and queen. What about the beast rising from the sea in Revelation chapter 13?
Politics.
That's politics. What about Babylon, Mystery Babylon, Revelation 17 and 18?
That's politics.
What about Babylon being destroyed in Jeremiah 15 and 51?
Politics. I feel like a broken record.
Nimrod went and built a city.
That was politics.
The Tower of Babel.
Oh, politics, yes.
When we see Ahab say to Elijah, "Are you the man that troubled Israel?"
Politics.
The political figure is coming to the prophet of God and telling him to shut up.
That's not uncommon, is it?
John the Baptist got thrown into prison because he challenged who?
Herod, who was king at the time. That's a politician.
When Jesus was born, Mary and Joseph had to flee to Egypt because of...
politics.
A political choice to kill babies.
Mm-hmm. It was a mandate, a law. That's politics.
So we can do this all day. Politics are in Scripture.
And politics will not be done away until Jesus throws them into the lake of fire.
When Jesus returns in Revelation 19 and he sets up his kingdom here on earth, his first order of business is to take the two categorical evil entities that have caused man the grief since he's been on planet earth. And that is corrupt politics and corrupt religion. Politics and religion, when they get in the hand of man, will mess up everything.
And that's why we have to be aware
of politics and religion. So when Jesus returns, he grabs the beast, that's politics, and the false prophet, that's religion. During the tribulation period, the Christians are going to be hiding and going underground because of
politics and religion.
The corrupt religion, version.
Yes.
So ladies and gentlemen, it is vital for you to hear that corruption is taking place before our eyes here in the United States of America in our political system. It is vital for me to be up on the wall to let everybody know and tell everybody, ladies and gentlemen, villagers, people of the land, children of God, people of God, people of the earth, announcement, there is great woe coming to this land. There is great lament coming and grief and darkness and sorrow. Greatness is not coming to put everybody back to sleep. God has not decided that reprieve is coming to America. The narrative does not go backwards. The narrative goes forward. It is fluid. The momentum is taking us to the one world government. Right now, it is in its infancy, but the global Hydra, New World Order, beast creature, octopus creature, is growing appendages as I speak. And those appendages are being nourished by Donald Trump and others before our eyes. And I have to say that Donald Trump was placed into office to nourish and give vitamins to the New World Order Hydra.
I agree. We have this political system that has become two different wings. You have your right wing and your left wing. And they really are feeding the same bird and they have the same goals. So we had 8 years of feeding the left goals that are going to get us to feed the same bird. Now we're going to have 4 to 8 years of feeding the right side, feeding the bird. They're both feeding the same bird.
It's the same creature. It's the same creature. And the folks know this. They've heard this for years, Donna, for the last several years. Alex Jones touted this over and over and over. The globalists.
The globalists are coming. They're going to take your children. They're going to put fluoride in your water. They want to vaccinate your kids. And they want to make it so that you can't breathe and you don't know what's up.
Donna, we heard this, right? Donna's laughing.
Yes, we heard this. Yeah, and my, how he has changed his tune.
I don't know what happened, but Donald Trump was on his show and then everything changed. He endorsed Donald Trump and then he started having Roger Stone, the Prince of Darkness, Mm-hmm. Provocateur of politics who makes up fake stories. It's just a mess, ladies and gentlemen. The pool is polluted.
It's full of alligators and snakes.
It's not clear. It's not crystal clear, Donna. It's dirty. So the listeners out there now have to step and sift through the marsh and their feet sink in. That's where we are.
Go get some rubber boots or hip waders so you can get through all the muck.
But anyway, Donna, why don't we switch gears? And, you know, I mentioned earlier that Trump is nourishing another appendage of the Hydra beast of the New World Order. Let's talk about it.
Let's do that.
Now, a few weeks ago, Donald Trump went to Saudi Arabia and he did something that was weird, was odd. I wrote an article about it. It's on the website. If you haven't seen it, ladies and gentlemen, you can go to watchmanscry.com and read about the orb. Now, when it first happened, I saw the pictures. People emailed us and they said, Nathan, will you please tell us what it means? So I took some time and did some digging. And as I dug, Donna, the rabbit hole just went in all sorts of directions. I uncovered more information that I didn't plan to uncover. Mm-hmm. So we're not going to be able to talk about all of it, or maybe we'll do it in a condensed fashion. And as I explain what this is, some of you have probably already read it, so you know where I'm going with this. But as I share it, I am continually mystified, Donna, because none of it makes any logical sense. What Trump did when he went to Saudi Arabia and he put his hands on that orb and the aftermath of it reveals that he is an insider. He is a part of the globalist elite. Trump is not draining the swamp, ladies and gentlemen, by any means. And this event that took place with the orb proves beyond a shadow of a doubt, if anyone was wondering which side Trump is on or did he deceive, we're seeing all of this happen. And a lot of these people have wondered, is Donald Trump legit or if he's not? So some people are on the fence. They don't know. But after this event took place in Saudi Arabia, there can be no doubt. This answers all the questions.
Yes.
So, ladies and gentlemen, if you've been on the fence and you're not sure, please listen to everything we're going to talk about today on this program. Listen to it several times. And then I want to say this. Everything that you hear me say, if I claim that an event took place with Donald Trump and I mention what it was, go to the website and look for the article because I have the citations and the source material and the proof. I want you to be able to confirm what I tell you with your own research. So you take what I say to prayer, but in addition to prayer, it says in Proverbs, look at the whole matter before answering. And it says in Thessalonians, examine everything carefully and hold fast to that which is good. So prove all things, hold fast to that which is good. Donna, that means to prove it means that you look at the facts. Mm-hmm. You look at the evidence, the citations, the bibliography, the place it came from, the actual footage.
Right.
Read the documents. Read the white papers. Read the citations. Donna, a lot of these watchmen and these preachers and these programs who say things about Donald Trump, they say Donald's going to do this, this, and this, and they have no proof.
And there's no citations. Nobody even questions them, yet they don't cite anything.
But they're actually making predictions. He's going to do this. Therefore, mm-hmm. You're wrong.
Right.
Well, he's going to do this based on what? The only way that we can know if someone's going to do something is
by looking at their past, by their past actions, because in politics especially, you cannot rely on what they say they're going to do. Because every politician, I don't care whether they're right, left, they say they're a Christian, they're not a Christian, they lie. That's what they do. They make campaign promises, and they know that campaign promises don't have to be held up.
Thank you, Donna. So the proof is in the track record.
Mm-hmm.
In the biblical sense, Jesus said a similar thing. He said, you'll know them
by their fruits.
What is the fruit?
The fruit is their walk, their track record, things they've done before and that they're doing now.
Things they have done. That is the fruit. Donald Trump has fruit. He had fruit the whole time, Donna. When he ran for office, he had fruit.
Oh, he has lots of fruit. It's all rotten, but he has lots of it.
A lot of people disregarded it.
And defended it and twisted scripture to make it okay.
We're not electing a pastor. We're electing a politician.
And he's a new Christian, so see, things are going to change. Though he's never said that he came to Jesus recently. He said at one time that he's been a Christian since he was born, his whole life. And we all know that's not true. Nobody's been a Christian their whole life. You have to come to Jesus. You have to have a salvation experience.
So here we are. We're past the 100-day marker. And a lot of things are going on right now. And ladies and gentlemen, if you're taking notes, and I want to invite you to do so, also go to my website, watchmanscry.com, and look for the article called The Trump Chronicles Part 6, Trump and the Glowing Orb of Mystery. If you receive this audio program in the email, or if you're at my website looking at it, I'm also going to have a link to the notes of the article that goes along with this. So now let's talk about it. Donald Trump went to Saudi Arabia and he met with the king. Some pictures were taken where he placed his hand on this glowing white orb.
It's like an earth that glows.
And the king of Saud also had his hands on it. And then there was another individual who's the president of...
Al-Sisi of Egypt.
Al-Sisi, Egypt's president. And the three of them placed their hand on this orb. And a lot of folks said, what in the world is that all about? And the thing that's interesting, Donna, is after the initial curiosity went away, people quit asking.
Well, and the funny thing was when it happened is that, you know how the news supposedly hates Donald Trump. They said nothing about it. Right news, left news, didn't matter. Nobody said anything about it. They said it was no big deal.
This event that took place was the inauguration. It was the commencement. It was the ribbon cutting for a new spy surveillance location that is going to work in concert with the NSA and the Donut over in Great Britain.
And the Utah Data Mining Center.
It's going to be another data mining center, just yes. Like, exactly. Thank you, Donna. The one in Utah is huge. Well, this one was built in Saudi Arabia. And the thing that is amazing is the name. Because if we take into account...
where it is.
Where it's located, Riyadh, Saudi Arabia. And we're going to talk about Saudi Arabia's record for human rights abuse. And we're going to talk about their participation in terrorism and how they are married to the globalists and how they have been used as pawns to carry out the schemes of the New World Order. Now they get their own listening location, their surveillance headquarters. Donna, what's the name of it?
The Global Center for Combating Extremist Ideology.
Okay.
In Saudi Arabia.
Every word of this location, Donna, screams hypocrisy.
If we can't look at this and realize that there's something really off here, the name says it all.
It does. Now, when this location was inaugurated, when Donald Trump went there, they fired up the computers and the big screen. It's like a bat cave, and they have these screens up on the wall.
It's like something out of the movies.
It is. It's like, it looks like NORAD's headquarters, doesn't it?
Yeah, like NORAD.
It does. It's been under construction for 2 years, and it's going to be connected to the NSA.
Well, those three units are probably all going to be connected.
They are.
The Donut, the Utah Data Mining, and then this one, the Global. Yeah.
What's so wrong about that, Nathan? So what? Well, if you go to YouTube and you see the tour guide explaining what everything does, it shows how you have the man on one level listening in.
To conversations.
All over the world.
Not just in Saudi Arabia. I hope you understand
all
that.
All over the world.
That includes the United States of America.
And then they have in the upper balcony another bank of computers with women. And that's all they have their headsets on. And the computer program is sniffing the world internet, social media, Facebook.
The women have to be separated from
the men. They have to be. Of course, it's Saudi Arabia. But the purpose of this location is they're listening to chatter. They're listening to conversations, watching conversations. They're voyeurs, Donna, of the world.
The world.
The whole world. Mm-hmm. Well, the name says it all.
Global.
Now, if some of them, this is what was funny. When the tour guide was explaining what it did, he said, in the Middle East, we can hear social media and we can hear if there's any extremist talk and conversation and we can inform the proper authorities that we are hearing extreme talk. Well, when you look at the name of the place, Donna, it's not limited to the Middle East.
No.
It's called the what?
The Global Center for the Combating of Extremist Ideology.
Control Center is a complicated... The Command and Control Center is a complicated system of systems. That means many systems are integrated together to make up the main system. The system consists of three main phases. The first phase is the monitoring, where it takes place here through 350 operators in this room. The second system is the analysis. Basically, it's taken care by our female operators on the second floor over there. And the third phase is the engagement, where people engage with people with terrorist activities or terrorist ideology. Basically, our system consists of first this screen, where we document the threatening discussions, and then once we document it, we report it to the social media companies or maybe to the security departments or to the right agencies inside the Saudi or through our international partners and friends. And the second system here is the open source, where we collect data from different open source blogs and web content, and only open source, document it and start analyzing the content. The third one basically is our tool, where we develop content to communicate our message to the terrorist. Basically, it includes some infographics and motion graphics and a lot of ways to communicate our message to terrorists. The next screen, basically, it is a mechanism, or let's say the extremism index, that help identify and evaluate the position of extremist activities in certain area. We are still building that system. Basically, then we have this that shows the distribution of extremist activities around the world and the discussions. Here, this is the main dashboard of our system. The dashboard basically is a sophisticated system. Basically, it includes some AI and also some models, some artificial intelligence systems that basically identify the Arabic sentiments. It's the only system around the world that identify the Arabic sentiment, whether it's pro or anti or neutral against the terrorist discussions. Basically, the system has been built locally here, and we have also some patents for building the system. As you can see, the system shows the participation from male and female, and also who is with or anti the discussions. Then we have the system, this big system, we call it the media monitoring system. Basically, we cover 100 TV channels, and also we cover 11 different languages, where we convert the voice into text, and then we translate the text from the source language into Arabic. Then we keep the whole text in Arabic in a big data engine, where we analyze it to come up with intelligence. The whole system has been built over 2 years within the Center of Studies and Media Affairs at the Royal Court, and it was initiated by His Royal Highness, the Deputy Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman. So basically, we started the project 2 years ago, and it includes a lot of AI, artificial intelligence model, and also it includes also some smart component, and also machine learning, where the machine is taught to learn how we do the transcription and also how to do the translation.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is worldwide. The spy surveillance location is global, and they're going to listen to everybody. And
in their country, they can do that because they have no constitution or bill of rights to defend their people. So they can listen to their own people, unlike our government is supposed to not be allowed to do.
Well, the FISA court, F-I-S-A, write that down. FISA, FISA court, requires a warrant by the judge so that the NSA can listen to American citizens.
Well, and England has a similar type defense of their own people. So their donut cannot listen to their own people either.
Exactly. So now, what's the loophole, Donna? What's the back door?
The loophole is we use Saudi Arabia to listen to people in England and Saudi Arabia to listen to people in America.
The NSA picks up the phone and says, hey,
I can't get a FISA warrant for this guy I want to listen to. So, hey, tap his phone. Here's his phone number.
Let's see what Nathan is saying on his Facebook page. Watchman's Cry.
Because we can't look without a FISA warrant.
So will you do it? Will you get your guys to tap Nathan's information
and tell communication? Us?
Tell us what he's saying. Mm-hmm. The NSA will then take that information. And if it comes up and someone says, hey, how did you get this? They will say, well, we got an anonymous tip. But it wasn't us. We didn't spy. It was an anonymous tip.
We didn't use the Utah Data Mining Center. We didn't even use the donut.
We were just told by some concerned people who ran across this information. Ladies and gentlemen, this is going to be used as a backdoor to spy on Americans and people in the West, and also locally in the Middle East, all the nations there. How many Middle Eastern countries are there, Donna, where our brethren reside?
Well, Christians. Even in Israel, they'll use it against Israel too.
They'll use, yes, but against our brethren, I mean, like mm-hmm. in Egypt and
oh,
Jordan.
Oh, yeah,
and
many
Lebanon
Christians in those countries.
Qatar,
yeah.
Yes, Somalia, all our Christian brethren are going to be spied on.
In Saudi Arabia, they operate under Sharia law, and it is radical. And it is what I would call extreme, but that's not what they're going to be listening for. They're going to be listening for Christians who they consider extreme.
Which raises another question. The name of the location is the Global Center for Combating Extremist Ideology. Okay, question, Donna. That raises more questions just in the title. How do they combat it?
How do they?
How do they determine what is extreme? Mm-hmm. And how do they determine which categorical ideology even fits on the list that can be considered extreme?
Their standard for anything that is extreme is Islam, Muslims. So anything that is Christian is therefore extreme, or anything that is against Islam is extreme. So we just aligned ourselves under our NSA. We have all just aligned with this global center. It's located in a country that when a woman gets raped, she can be given lashes for committing adultery.
Well, okay, let's talk about that for a moment. Saudi Arabia has one of the worst records for human rights abuse. And Amnesty International and whatever you think of them, ladies and gentlemen, they still chronicle and monitor countries and the method of punishment that takes place in countries. There's about 30 countries in the world that do corporal punishment. Mm-hmm. And Saudi Arabia, I believe, is the second worst human rights abuser. And in Saudi Arabia, the penalty that they do just for, and it doesn't mean that the people have to be found guilty, just the penalties that
somebody accused them.
If they're accused, and since they're a Sharia law, in fact, if people aren't aware of what that is, Donna, in Sharia law, the citizens who come to trial, if they're accused of something, must be adherents to Sharia law, which is an extreme form of Islam mm-hmm. that is very rigid. They follow all the Quran rules and to the T. Like
the hand
women,
washing, the foot washing, the separation of men and women.
The women, the way they have
hijab.
To. They can't drive. Yeah. So if they go to court, the judge is a Sharia judge. He believes in that form of Islam. But if one of the defendants does not follow mm-hmm. or is not an adherent of it, but the other person is, like the person that's prosecuting, if the defendant's not following Sharia law, then it doesn't matter what he says or his defense or his proof. He's going to be guilty.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Just period.
Because he doesn't follow Sharia law.
Sharia law says that you can lie to condemn a non-follower. It's dumb. It's stupid.
It's evil.
It's evil. It's unjust. So if a person is accused of stealing or several other crimes.
Sexual deviance, which doesn't necessarily mean homosexuality. It can mean many different things there. You don't have to have done it. Just be accused of it. Drunkenness. Drunkenness in this country.
But if they're accused of things that have to do with theft, like robbery or yes. purse snatching or burglary, the punishment
is an amputation of your hands or your feet. And sometimes both.
Sometimes both. If women are accused of adultery or if they are raped, they get flogged.
Because if a woman is raped, she is committing adultery.
It's her fault.
It's her fault. She should not have put herself in a situation to be raped. The courts in Saudi Arabia continue to impose really severe sentences through flogging. Sometimes it's as many as 1,000 to 2,500 lashes. I don't even know how a human would survive that many lashes. There's a blogger named Raif Badawi, and he was sentenced to 1,000 lashes in 10 years for having insulted Islam. His lashes were taken over 20 weeks. So he got 1,000 lashes. The first 50 were administered in one day on January 9th, 2015.
And then for the second round, what happened, Donna?
He was in the infirmary or however. I don't know if they put them in the hospital, but it was medical reasons. They had to put it aside, probably because his body wasn't healing.
His first 50 were in one day.
50.
And by the way, they behead 100 people a year, approximately.
And you have to understand, okay, yes, we have capital punishment in this country for murder. They have capital punishment for all kinds of things, for witchcraft, for adultery, for apostasy, for repeated drug use, for armed robbery. But it's not just for murder. In America, you have to actually have killed somebody to get the death penalty.
And then after they behead the person, after you're beheaded, you get crucified.
And this is the country that is listening to our telephone calls with the money we gave them to create this center. That's what you're telling me?
The beheadings that take place every year vary from, they can be 50 or 75, 100.
200 executions in 1 year. I think in 2005, there were almost 200.
When Donald Trump was campaigning, Donna, he talked about the bad Muslims coming in as terrorists. If we go back in history and we look at who funds terrorism, Saudi Arabia keeps popping up, even 9/11.
Yes.
You know, the official story of 9/11 says the majority of those pilots came from Saudi Arabia. Osama bin Laden is from, is it Yemen, Donna, or Qatar? Or
Saudi Arabia. He is from Saudi Arabia.
So the
And supposedly he's the mastermind behind 9/11, according to our government's report.
Official false kangaroo court story, right.
But if they believe their own story, shouldn't this be a country on the list that we have nothing to do with?
You would think. So according to Donald Trump, the evil Islamic Muslims who need to be banned from coming into America, he left out Saudi Arabia, Donna.
Because they have what?
They money. Have money and they're exactly. So, ladies and gentlemen, when Donald Trump inaugurated this orb, that would signify that he is endorsing the location. And he's endorsing the marriage of the United States with Saudi Arabia mm-hmm. to have this listening surveillance spy location. He's okay with it.
He's not only okay with it, he's all on board.
If a person is a follower of Donald Trump and they believe that he's telling the truth, then how do we reconcile the conflict? Why isn't this being brought up? Our brethren are going to be abused. Now, people can say, well, Nathan, what proof do you have that they're going to be abused?
I'm sorry that somebody would even ask that question is difficult for me to imagine. But okay, let's say somebody asked me that question. Let's look at their fruit. Let's look at the fruit that Saudi Arabia has in human rights. That is a perfectly valid piece of fruit to look at in regard to them being given this entire global research center to listen to our phone calls.
It doesn't match, does it?
No, it doesn't match at all.
Okay, now here's the other thing that's absurd. When Donald Trump had the photo op with the king of Saud and then Egypt's president, let's talk about Al-Sisi.
Oh, yes, let's talk about Al-Sisi.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, if you don't know who he is, you can go to the website. I have a picture of him. WatchmansCry.com, Trump Chronicles, Part 6, Trump and the Glowing Orb of Mystery. I have pictures and images of Al-Sisi. He has a long name, but if you want to do research on him, in fact, I encourage you to do this, ladies and gentlemen. His name is spelled several ways. You can do A-L-C-C-S-I-S-S-I or E-L-C-C-S-I-S-S-I. But whatever way it is spelled, he's Egypt's president. And when they had a coup in 2014...
And I hope our listeners remember this coup, because the Egyptian revolution that happened in 2011 was to oust Hosni Mubarak, who had been in power for since the 80s, right?
81, I think. Yeah.
So they ousted him, and then Mohamed Morsi took over.
And he was correct? In there for a few years.
And then Al-Sisi came in and he took over, and he's now the president.
Okay. And he took over in 2014.
Yes, in 2014.
So Morsi was just there a few years, but I don't want to get sidetracked on the political background. These people are all Muslims, first of all.
Yes.
But Morsi, the guy that just got overthrown by Al-Sisi, Morsi was Muslim Brotherhood. We know this.
And he also would not take a loan from the IMF.
Right. Okay. So Muslim Brotherhood, we can agree.
Yes, they're bad. They have lots of bad things. Yes.
They're bad people. Okay. So Al-Sisi took over as the general. They had a coup. He took over as the general, and a lot of them protested the coup. They didn't like it. So they met at this
square. It was like a square.
A town square, and several thousand showed up, and they were there for several days. This is in 2014.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For several days, they're barbecuing. You can go to the YouTubes and see them barbecuing, and they're singing, and they're saying this is a peaceful protest. They were protesting the coup. They didn't like that Morsi got kicked out. And I don't want to digress by people saying, well, then that means they were supporting Muslim Brotherhood. These are men, women, and children. They were happy with Morsi.
In their country, all the political parties are bad. This just happened to be the one they were in, and they were supporting the previous guy.
Right. So they didn't like that the coup took place. Well, Al-Sisi then ordered at 6:30 in the morning, 2014, for all the exits of this courtyard.
To be blocked.
To be blocked. And then he placed
police snipers at the tops of the buildings with guns. And they started killing people.
They started firing into the crowd. Ladies and gentlemen, you can go to YouTube and type in the Rabaa Massacre. It's R-A-B-A-A.
That's men, women, children fired on by their own government.
And how many people died? 50?
Almost 1,000 people were killed. It's not, and that's the ones that their government admits that they killed. So we really don't know the true numbers. And Do we ever?
How many were injured?
Thousands.
Thousands and thousands were injured by al-Sisi. So he massacred 1,000 people because they were peacefully protesting.
Because they didn't like him. That would be the same thing as if Donald Trump had surrounded the protesters who were pro-Hillary and just killed them all. That's not what you do.
Tens of thousands of Egyptians took to the streets in Cairo and provinces throughout Egypt to oppose the military's July 3rd ouster of Mohamed Morsi, Egypt's first elected civilian president. The center point, really, for those protests was in Rabaa al-Adawiyya Square in eastern Cairo, where you had protesters that staged an open-ended sit-in that demanded that the military reinstate Morsi. On August 14th, the government forcefully dispersed the sit-in. Security forces opened fire directly on crowds of largely peaceful protesters. Human Rights Watch spent months going hospital to hospital, morgue by morgue, reviewing death lists, and we've documented at least 817 protesters that were killed that day. Around 6 a.m., security forces arrived at five of the major entrances to Rabaa al-Adawiyya Square. Security forces began in some locations firing tear gas. However, they very quickly, in some places within minutes, escalated to live fire. They were also supported by snipers that fired atop nearby government buildings. And witnesses also told us that snipers fired from helicopters that were hovering around Rabaa al-Adawiyya Square.
What our investigation has found is that the method in which the government security forces carried out their dispersal, using live ammunition from the get-go, makes clear that this was a systematic, planned attack on protesters.
The government claims that armed protesters attacked them from the first minutes of the dispersal, and that all force it used was in reaction to that initial fire from protesters. However, at the end of the day, the Interior Ministry only found 15 guns in Rabaa Square, and 8 police officers were killed. This wasn't a case of security forces pinpointing particular armed elements within the demonstration and having collateral damage as a result. This was a plan that envisioned opening fire on crowds, tens of thousands of largely peaceful protesters, for hours on end without safe exit for women, children, and those seeking to flee the violence. Security forces intensified their fire in the late afternoon as they made their final push into the heart of Rabaa Square. Some of the worst brutality took place during this period, with snipers and government forces opening fire throughout Rabaa Square. Around 4:30 p.m., armored personnel carriers arrived at Rabaa Hospital, and they began firing directly into Rabaa Hospital. Human Rights Watch was in the building at the time and observed this as it happened. Security forces then entered the hospital and immediately ordered everybody out, telling them the hospital would be burned and to leave injured behind. Security forces had more or less secured Rabaa Square around 6 p.m. when they arrived by the stage at the very heart of where the demonstration had taken place. After 6 p.m., many protesters were finally able to leave after 12 hours of being trapped in Rabaa Square. Some of those that did not get out were beaten, tortured, and in some cases, even summarily executed.
What we know, and what is actually a matter of public record, is that the highest levels of government officials in Egypt planned this dispersal. There was a very high-level meeting called of the most senior government officials, army officials, security officials, including the interior minister, including then defense minister, now president, Abdel Fattah al-Sisi, including all the top commanders, to plan this dispersal and anticipate that there would have a very high civilian death toll.
I'm wondering if I'm going to get emails and they're going to say, well, Nathan, they were Muslim Brotherhood supporters, so who cares? Well, it would be similar to people supporting Hillary and protesting, even though Hillary's the witch. And does that mean we butcher all of them?
Yes, exactly. You don't butcher human beings because they don't like your politics.
It wasn't war. They weren't engaged in war. We saw the YouTubes, Donna. We watched it.
We watched the YouTubes. It was the most depressing thing.
And folks, if you don't believe us, go type in the Massacre of Egypt, Rabaa Massacre 2014, and you'll be shocked. The people are running scared. They're trying to hide. They'll go and hide behind cars and trees, and then you see them fall over because they're shot by a sniper.
And to this day, there are over 10,000 people in jail for having participated in this.
In that protest?
In this protest and other ones, yes.
And then you add to that
political prisoners.
Then you add to that, there's actually 50,000 total. I've heard that number.
Mm-hmm. Oh, in jail, yes, 50,000. I've heard that too.
Political prisoners for just disagreeing with al-Sisi. So he's a dictator, Donna.
Yes, he's a dictator. And we just handed him the keys to listen to our phone calls.
Now let's bring this back to perspective. We have Donald Trump going to Saudi Arabia. And by the way, I have this in the article. I talk about it on there. You can go there, ladies and gentlemen, and read what I'm telling you. It's on the website in this article. And when Donald Trump inaugurated this new Hydra creature, and that's the only word I have for it. It's a new appendage to the Hydra. When he inaugurated it, he did it in concert with two bad men, Donna, of the world.
Yes.
Bad human
evil
beings.
Evil leaders.
King of Saud from the royal family and al-Sisi.
And how sad is this, Nathan, that even Obama would have nothing to do with this guy?
I shared that on Minute to Midnight a few nights ago, and Tony said, well, Nathan, I can hear people arguing, and they'll say, well, Obama was Muslim Brotherhood. That's why he didn't agree with him.
That doesn't even make sense to me. If I were a Republican, I would not be for the killing of Democrats.
This guy, al-Sisi's a butcher.
He is
now,
a butcher.
When the individual wrote the book, Confessions of an Economic Hitman, you've read it, Donna?
Yes, I read it. It's a great book. John Perkins wrote it.
Okay. In that book, John Perkins admits that the job of an economic hitman like him was to go to third world countries, to poor countries, and to set up the kings or the presidents or whatever they are, and they set them up and make them rich, give them a palace, and you line their pockets as long as they will hawk their country and borrow money from the International Monetary Fund, the IMF, right? That's what they do.
And if they're willing, if you can get them to do that, that's good. They get to live.
Because if they don't do it, then you assassinate them and find another puppet who will comply. Mm-hmm. So the IMF sends scouts out to go to countries and get them to take loans from the IMF.
And they'll do whole teams. They'll send into a country like 10 people at a time to look at different things and write reports on how this country could spend this much money on this infrastructure and we'll get this much money back, our company, because these are American companies that get the return on building this infrastructure.
Okay, so it's corrupt. Perkins would go into countries, and he even talks about having people assassinated that didn't comply. But the goal is to get these third world leaders to sell their countries out. And the only way to really pull that off is to do it by force. So it works really well for dictators, and the IMF makes money. Al-Sisi has been the president for just a few years of Egypt. And last August, 10 months ago, Al-Sisi borrowed
from the IMF $11 billion.
When we look at a dictator who borrows from the IMF, it's easy.
It's part of the beast system.
It's part of the beast. They are insiders. So al-Sisi is a part of the globalist network now. So Donald Trump, again, now let's look at the picture. That weird orb picture when he's placing his hand on the glowing orb globe of the earth. Donald Trump is touching it. Al-Sisi is on the other side. And then you have the Saudi king in the middle. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if you've wondered if Donald Trump is draining the swamp and doesn't want anything to do with the New World Order or the globalists, we are presenting the proof right here that this is New World Order stuff.
This is how we create the beast.
Because we see the money system. The IMF is involved throughout al-Sisi. We see his dictator tactics. We see that the surveillance network appendage was endorsed and inaugurated by Trump. So in summary, what do we have Donald Trump doing? We have him endorsing spying.
On American citizens, yes.
On the whole world.
On the world, yes. World citizens, but certainly on Americans.
So he is okay with spying, ladies and gentlemen.
He's fine
on you.
With it. Yeah, spying is all good.
If anyone listening right now says, Nathan, Donald Trump's going to make America great, well, how does that fit in the narrative when we now know that he endorses spying? And see, when he campaigned, he said it, Donna. He said, I am the law and order candidate. He endorses dictators who, well, Nathan, hold on. What do you mean he endorses dictators? How do you know he does? Well, let's play a clip right here.
Okay.
Of Donald Trump saying to al-Sisi, He's doing a great job. And then watch this. He's going to say, we agree on the same thing. Okay, here we go.
It's great to be with the president of Egypt. We agree on so many things. I just want to let everybody know, in case there was any doubt, that we are very much behind President al-Sisi. He's done a fantastic job. We agree on so many things.
We agree on so many things. We agree on so many things. He's done a fantastic job.
Okay, Donna, there you go. Comments, what do you think?
What exactly is he saying we agree on? Are we agreeing on torturing our own people, on closing off the square for the protesters and just shooting at them? Which part do we agree on?
That's a good question. We agree on a lot of the same stuff.
People are just chattel, just to be used however the rich people want to use them. Is that what he's agreeing on?
Ladies and gentlemen, it's right there. It's so obvious now. Donald Trump stated that he agrees with a dictator butcher. He agrees. Now, if you're a child of God, if you follow the word of God and the scriptures, I want to ask you, my friend, do you agree with the way al-Sisi butchered his people? Because a true Christian does not agree with butchering other humans. The gospel is not based on butchery and torture. That's the opposite. Donna, there's no way to spin this thing. We either, you know, we need to pick the side we're on. Ladies and gentlemen, pick a side.
And it's not right or left. We're not asking you to pick right or left. We're asking you to pick truth or the world.
That's what we have to pick. That's the choice. So right now there is so much deception. There is so much nonsense going on with Christians who are okay with all of this. And now that we've talked about what the orb is really all about, and the listeners have heard this, that kind of explains why maybe the media didn't want to go into it, or why some of the watchmen or preachers out there who are endorsed Donald Trump didn't really want to talk about it.
I think there's even more. The council that went with them.
Oh, thank you. Okay, so at the same time that Donald Trump was in Saudi Arabia, another event was taking place simultaneously, ladies and gentlemen. And in the remaining minutes that we have, I want to talk about this because, Donna, this is the icing. This is the smoking gun. This is the bullet coming out. This is the buckshot in the air with the smoke, with Donald Trump's finger on the trigger. This proves, ladies and gentlemen,
that we live in a corporatocracy.
And that Donald Trump is a part of the swamp, and he is populating the swamp with the globalist New World Order beast system.
The oligarchies rule.
The oligarchies. Now, when he campaigned, he said he's not part of it.
He's an outsider. That's what he said.
So a lot of Christians said he's going to drain the swamp because he's an outsider. He doesn't associate with those types. But then he got inaugurated, and pretty quick he tapped and recruited individuals to sit on the cabinet. From Goldman Sachs, Trilateral Commission, CFR, Rothschild's alumni. And we saw that these are billionaires. Now, the way he justified it, though, the way he sold the billionaire appointees, Donna, the way that he sold it to the people, to the commoners, to us, was he said, these are winners. And I want to populate the administration with winners, not losers. We're going to win. We're going to just win so much. Win. We're going to get tired of winning.
Because you can only be a winner if you've made it to billionaire status. The rest of y'all are losers. Just so you know, we are all considered losers. But if you're wealthy, no matter how you got there, you're a winner.
According to him. You're being sarcastic.
I'm being sarcastic, but that's his take on what a winner is.
Okay, so we saw Wilbur Ross get hired, which is Goldman Sachs.
Goldman Sachs just is like pepper in there. It's just sprinkled in all over.
We see it all over. I mean, Steve Bannon, Goldman Sachs. And then you have, Wilbur Ross was also, he worked for the Rothschilds. And over, we see these names of individuals who are skull and bones, who are Rothschilds alumni.
CFR, Trilateral
Bilderberg.
Commission. Yes. Remember, Alex Jones told us about these people.
But then he endorsed Donald Trump. You got Steve Schwarzman, who is Blackstone, who is Bilderberg. And you got Steve Feinberg also.
Yes.
He is Cerberus, who loaned money to Donald Trump for his Trump Tower in the early 2000s.
It's just the rich and the rich and more of the rich.
We have George Soros, who bailed Donald Trump out for the Taj Mahal when he went bankrupt. And then you have George Soros, who loaned him $312 million to build Trump Tower in 2005 or 6.
Which was forgiven later.
It was forgiven. So George Soros is also a part of the mix. So you have all these rich guys.
Mm-hmm.
But for some reason, our fellow associates out there, or ex-colleagues, don't want to talk about that. I don't know why, but they don't. But the swamp is full of alligators, New World alligators.
And snakes.
And snakes. Now, the Saudi Arabia event that took place. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if you're taking notes, and I'm going to do a write-up on this, Donna, so by the time they're hearing this, or within a few days, they'll be able to go. It's going to be part of the Trump Chronicles, an upcoming installment. But if you're taking notes, ladies and gentlemen, write this down. Write down Saudi U.S. CEO Forum. What in the world is that? In order for the New World Order to succeed, they need to operate through the barrel of a gun, through force.
Yes.
The Bible says that they will cause everyone to take the mark, rich and poor, small and great, because it's going to be done through force. The whole world will be militarized. Also, we need spying, the ability to spy on fellow citizens. So when Trump went to Saudi Arabia, he endorsed force and spying, those two things, because al-Sisi uses force. Donald Trump said, I agree with that. Now we know that he's okay with force and spying. Well, the other part of the New World Order, in time government system, is a money system, one world currency, and the elite control the finance, the bankers control the finance. Now, when he went to Saudi Arabia, at the same time he was inaugurating the new Hydra beast creature, there was a conference or a forum where the richest people in the world,
the richest corporations and their leaders.
We're not just talking some people that are a little lucky and they've done pretty well on the stock market. We're talking about the people who attend
Bilderberg. These are CFR members. These are people on the Trilateral Commission. These are people that have, they stumped for the IMF.
Okay, so the Bilderberg globalist individuals who would be filmed by Alex Jones at the Bilderberg meeting, getting out of limousines.
Or what's that one with the owl? I bet they go to that too. The
Bohemian
Grove.
But you know, Alex Jones foams at the mouth.
I'm going to be going to the Bilderberg. They're going to be in Austria this year. And we have our cameras. Here comes another limousine. Who is that? Who's coming out of that? Get that. Watson, get that. Who is that coming out of there?
And he says, look, it's Steven Schwartzman from Blackstone.
Blackstone, Steven Schwartzman, he's getting out of the limo. Okay, folks.
And Lawrence Fink.
Mr. Blackstone, what do you have to say about it? What are y'all going to talk about in there?
No comment.
What are y'all going to talk about?
No comment.
Are you trying to take over the world? Why are you a globalist? Why are you at these meetings?
No comment. And next we have Lawrence Fink. Look, his limo's pulling up.
That's BlackRock. They're very big. They have head funds in charge of trillions of dollars. Fink.
Wait, he went in, but right behind him.
Here comes the Monsanto guy. Ladies and gentlemen, Monsanto is attending the Bilderberg. Here he comes. Hugh Grant from Monsanto. There he is, getting out of the limo. Mr. Grant, why are you poisoning the earth? Why are you trying to kill us? Why are you trying to throw poison in our weeds?
Just ignore
Alex
Jones.
Don't you know that it's killing our children? Don't you know that it's going into the water and it's causing us to, when we drink it, it's causing us to have malformed children? The IQ level of children
is going down. Just smile and keep walking.
Don't you know who you are? You work for the devil. You are the devil.
That's it.
Donna mentioned just three names of people that go to Bilderbergs. But if these individuals she just named went to Saudi Arabia with Donald Trump, and not just them, not just those guys.
I haven't even been able to count how many went. There were so many.
But these are all Bilderbergs. The Dow Chemical Corporation, the CEO of Honeywell, the CEO of ExxonMobil, the CEO of Chase Manhattan, J.P. Morgan, Jamie Dimon. I mean, if we're talking a globalist insider, Jamie Dimon. And then we have the CEO of the Carlyle Group, which is associated with the Bushes. Donna, when we look at the who's who of the globalists.
They're all there. These are the swamp creatures that we were told that were going to be drained out of our government. This is not wealth that's going to help you and I. This is not going to bring jobs to America. This only feeds the elite. This only feeds the extremely wealthy. I guess if you want a job as a maid at one of their houses, this might help you.
But why did they go to Saudi Arabia and make these deals? Now, Donald Trump came back. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to have all of this. The names. It's amazing. The same Bilderbergers who sold out our country, who have the keys to the palace and come out in the balcony overlooking the plantation that they have created of earth. They, Donna.
This is they. This is who they are when we speak of
who,
they.
Who are they? This is they. Mm-hmm. They went with Donald Trump. When he was in Saudi Arabia, then they had a little ceremony with dancing with swords. Did you see that one?
No, I missed that one.
And Wilbur Ross and some of the cabinet members danced with swords, and it's supposed to be something that...
A spell or something? I don't know. I was making dinner, so I missed it.
I don't know what it was, but Trump was there during the sword dance. And then he announced after this forum was over, he announced that he was bringing back investment money from Saudi Arabia. And one of the first things he said was he was going to sell them over $100 billion of weapons, ships and tanks and planes, fighter jets.
Yes, because it's good to give your enemy lots of weapons. So when they come to kill you, they have good working weapons.
Trump is arming Saudi Arabia with the most advanced strategic weapons, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes, many strategic weapon companies went there, Boeing.
The defense contractors who want to sell weapons to the whole world went with Trump and sold Saudi Arabia over $100 billion of weapons. But on top of that, Trump said that he actually got $400 billion in deals. And he advertised that he was successful with $400 billion of deals. And one of the other things, let's talk about what the other deals are. It's not for the U.S. government.
No, no, we're not. Okay, our people aren't getting jobs out of this. It's these corporations that are going to go over to Saudi Arabia, hire Saudi Arabian people to do the work and the infrastructure. They're going to bring the money back it for themselves.
No, there is one good one that they're bringing back from Blackstone, from Steve Schwarzman from Blackstone.
Mm-hmm.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, during the campaign, Donald Trump stated that he was going to build roads. Steve Schwarzman made a deal with Saudi Arabia, and this is what he did.
So we're thinking you're going to fix our bridges. You're going to fix our roads that we have paid tax dollars to have built, correct?
Yes. So Steve Schwarzman made an announcement because he went over there with Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm.
And he came back and he said he got $40 billion of Saudi money to invest in infrastructure here in the United States. Doesn't that sound good?
That sounds great to fix our roads. They're going to pay $40 billion to fix our roads.
Well, okay.
We're cheering Donald Trump for this.
Well, the people that don't ask questions cheer. Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. Infrastructure's $40 billion. That's a lot.
And that's a lot of jobs. That's great.
Now, watch this, Donna. The questions stop, though, because when you think about it, okay, first of all, road building is a part of the transportation.
That we have people that do that fund. Now, yes.
What's the federal fund?
Yeah, Department of Transportation, yes.
Right, and you have the federal funds that are tallied and issued to every state.
That come from the gas we buy.
Right, and then some of it's from tax revenue to fix roads.
Mm-hmm.
So it comes from tax revenue that goes through the treasury and then it gets divvied out.
That's how it's always worked.
But Steve Schwarzman came back and said he got $40 billion of Saudi money to invest in infrastructure roads.
Okay, now that's starting to sound a little odd to me. Like, why would they want to invest in our roads when we have a tax system that already is supposed to be doing that?
Okay, here's why. Now, ladies and gentlemen, watch this. And let me show the absurdity to prove. Also, this is more proof that we are being played. The American public, yes, they are being ripped off. Ladies and gentlemen, you're being lied to. You got taken. Watch this. When he campaigned, he said he was going to get money for infrastructure to fix the roads.
Mm-hmm.
He said that.
For roads.
Okay. When he came back from Saudi Arabia, he said, I got money for infrastructure.
Think too deep, it sounds really good.
But again, the question needs to be asked, well, what does fixing roads have to do with Saudi Arabia? Because I thought tax...
It's not their roads.
So he didn't explain. He just said, yay.
Look what I
America's
did.
America's great. And then Drudge Report, America's great again. He brought money. And let me say this first. Alex Jones would complain for years... And those of you who are regular Alex Jones listeners might remember him complaining about how in the future the globalists, the elite...
The globalists, yes.
The globalists and the elite are going to build toll roads. And they're going to charge you to go to work. They're going to charge you every day when you go to work. You're going to have to drop a 10 down into the toll booth or a 5 or your quarters. And it's going to cost you money to go to work. Now, the globalists want to do this because they want to make slaves out of all of us.
Okay, Alex Jones said that.
I really do remember him saying that.
That's really good, isn't it?
You are so good.
Thank you. He said it, right?
He did say it over and over again.
They want to make toll roads. Okay, this money from Saudi Arabia is for toll roads.
Of course it is.
Blackstone, Steven Schwarzman, is making deals with Saudi Arabia to build toll roads across America.
So we will be paying Saudi Arabia to drive on roads built in America.
Not just paying them, Donna. They will own.
Oh, they even own the real estate that the road is on. So again, we're selling off America. What Obama was doing, which everybody complained and Alex Jones complained about and everybody was angry and up in arms that he was selling America to the Chinese. Trump is now selling America to the Saudi Arabians.
To the Muslims, the ones that he even said are evil, the evil Muslims.
The ones that want to kill us.
So ladies and gentlemen, that's one example. Blackstone is going to build toll roads And they've already got commitments from the Saudis. Now, Blackstone, Stephen Schwarzman, is the elite. He's Bilderberg.
They are elite. We live in a corporatocracy now.
That's a fancy word.
It is a fancy word, but it makes sense.
So we have these vampires. They.
They, yes. And, the blood drinkers.
And we have the list, and I'm going to put it on the website. You can see the list, ladies and gentlemen. You can download it, and one name after another are CEOs. These are the who's who of the Bilderbergs. Now Donald Trump opened the door, and he said, you guys just go in there and
come
feast.
In and feast. Yeah, everybody feast. In here, eat.
I have a banquet for you. It's called the United States. Here you go.
I can picture that as a scene in a movie.
With a cigar. Mm-hmm. Have a cigar.
As the vampires devour America.
What was going at a measured pace to advance the New World Order is now going at a frenzied pace. It's going to get so bad, Donna, and America will be gutted. And people will be able to go into this ruin where the walls are gone and the sheetrock is gone and the tapestry is gone and the molding and the trim is all gone. You just go in there and there's just a frame, a shell, and people will go in there and say, who did this? Donald Trump. And they'll start clapping.
Yes.
America's
great.
Oh,
he loves us. He did it because he loves us, because he's a nationalist, because he has America's back.
That's how absurd it is. And it's happening right before our eyes, ladies and gentlemen, as we speak.
He has his own back. He has the back of his rich friends. It is an oligarchy, folks. What? This is a bunch of rich people getting together, taking over our country, just like what happened in Russia.
Well, let me stop you for a second, Donna. Ivanka and Jared, his beloved son-in-law, are not that bad. They have conservative beliefs, and they are fighting for us. They're for us.
You're funny. I know that you're being funny.
Yes, I know. I'm being sarcastic.
You saw her tweet.
This is absurd, Donna. The feast of Shavuot. The feast that occurred this year, it moves around the calendar, but this year it was at the end of May, the last day of May, into June the 1st. And during that holy day, those who practice Judaism have to turn off their phones because you're not supposed to work. So they turn their phones off. So Ivanka was a good follower of the faith, right? Judaism.
Yes. Yes.
She turned off her phone.
She did.
But then when Shavuot was over on June the 1st.
After her special time with God.
Right. The Torah, and they studied and did all their stuff. The first day of June signified, from the secular point of view in the United States, June is the month for gay pride.
That's what June is.
That's what they call it.
Facebook has, if you go like a LGBT page, they'll give you a rainbow symbol that you can like June. People's, because it's June. It's the gay pride month.
Okay, so when Sister Ivanka of Judaism turned her phone back on, she got on Twitter. Let's paint the picture of the background here. This is after the holy
Shavuot.
Yes. To separate from
the world and to seek God, to pray, and
to be
holy and righteous. Yes. So she got back on June 1st, and it says, logging back on after Shavuot, wishing everyone a joyful pound pride 2017. This month, we celebrate and honor the LGBTQ community.
The pride thing was the gay pride. That's what she meant.
Yes, that's what pound pride 2017. It's a hashtag to get you. Everybody else's post about gay pride.
So that was her tweet?
That was her tweet.
But that's a little ambiguous. I'm not sure she really meant that, Donna. She was...
Okay, so then there was a second follow-up tweet. I think that one was on her personal, and this is her business.
Okay.
She has two Twitter accounts. I am proud to support my LGBTQ friends and the LGBTQ Americans who have made immense contributions to our society and economy.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Well, she didn't mean it.
She did say it, and I tend to take people when they say stuff that they actually mean it, but I could be wrong.
Well, why would she do that if Daddy is supposed to be with the evangelicals? Why would she do that?
Well, I don't think Daddy is with the evangelicals, and she is her daddy's daughter. He raised her to be who she is.
What? How many evangelical watchmen talked about this?
Oh, none of them, because they say that he's a baby Christian.
They would say she's the daughter. She's not the president. She doesn't count. She's not an elected official. She's not appointed. So there's nothing there.
She's not appointed. That's true. But her and her husband, Jared, have more power than any of the appointees. They have his ear. They have Trump's ear.
Even more than Pence.
Way more than Pence.
I'm going to stop there, Donna. I gave a lot of information.
You did. And you did some awesome AJ impressions.
Well, thank you. Got to go drink water now. I think my throat is injured. You know, after he turns on the microphone, he probably talks in falsetto. That's not his real voice.
You don't think so?
No, he's a falsetto child.
That's funny.
Are we off the air? Oh, wow, my throat hurts a little. Do you have a lemon?
So he sounds like Michael Jackson.
May I have a lemon?
Lemon and honey, please. Oh, you're funny. I love your impressions.
Okay, well, anyway, we are out of time. A lot of information here. And folks, I know I get fired up when I share this stuff, and so does Donna. But the passion that I bring to you and that Donna brings is fueled by frustration of watching Bible prophecy take place in the category of deception before our very eyes. How frustrating is it, Donna?
It goes back to that verse that says, if possible, even the very elect would be deceived. And, you know, if we want to be the very elect that may not be deceived, we have to keep in the Word. We have to keep our mind on the Word and on the things of God and keep His mindset and not take on a worldly mindset.
Amen. All right, ladies and gentlemen. Well, please share this program with your friends and family members. And if you have some friends that who are convinced that Trump is a divine appointment at the moment and they're struggling with it, share this information with them. And if you might be a first-time listener or a new listener and you find that this information is a little hard to bear, if you're a Christian, take it to prayer and also do this. Fact check. Look up the links that I mentioned. Go to my website and read the proof, ladies and gentlemen, because I offer proof. I'm not just talking to be mean or rude. If Trump was the appointee of God and the designated appointee of God to bring these things, and I was able to, beyond a reasonable doubt, agree with that, that's what I would be talking about. But he's not. And we don't find in Scripture that a season of hibernation will occur.
Or restoration. There will not be a restoration of this world.
We don't find that. It gets darker and darker. So with that, ladies and gentlemen, please continue praying for Donna and I. And if you appreciate what we're doing here at Watchman's Cry, we also appreciate your financial support. We cannot do it without you, ladies and gentlemen. It's only through you that we're able to continue this. And I don't say this lightly, and I don't say this just to self-promote, but there's not many other individuals who are giving you the depth and the level of truth that's going against the tide that's popular right now than us. And there's not many others. There's a few, but there's not many. So folks, we need you to continue to pray for us and support us. If you do appreciate what we're doing, our address is Watchman's Cry, P.O. Box 157, Priest River, Idaho, 83856. Or you can go to our website at watchmanscry.com and contact us there. We have a link there where you can support us. So with that, thank you for listening. Donna, any last words?
Just God bless you and stay in the Word.
Can they talk to you on Facebook?
Yes, anyone who wants to talk to me on Facebook, I'm on Messenger also. I don't always get back right away, but I do try to get back to everybody.
All right. Well, my lovely wife, Donna, here, I can't do it without. Pray for her also, ladies and gentlemen. Pray for our family, and we'll see you next time. We have a lot more information to bring, and so be looking for that. If you're not subscribed to notifications, you can go to the website and click subscribe or send me an email and ask me to subscribe, and I'll let you know when a new program comes out. So with that, God bless, stay safe, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.